Always keeping the main thing the main thing. Thanking God for Jesus Christ. Thanking God for the Holy Spirit. Thanking God for the angels. Thanking God for the church. Thanking God for this congregation. Thanking God for the elders and the leaders of this congregation. Thanking God for this morning that He gave us that He didn't have to, but He did. And He did it for a reason, for us to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, we ought to thank God. We truly, truly ought to thank God for that. This morning, my lesson is coming from the book of Colossians, the third chapter, verses 5, which was read to you. But I would like to read from verses 1 through 10. Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10. And it reads, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometimes when ye live in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." My subject this morning is death to sin. Death to sin. Paul says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Paul begins, mortify therefore your members upon the earth. Paul is instructing his readers not to let their bodies do whatever it wants. Rather, they are to live by Christ's desire for theirs and our lives. In particular, Paul calls out 5 specific sins which Christians are to put to death in their bodies and their lives. First, believers are to abstain from sexual immorality. This is from sexual sins. This can include premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, or deviant sexual such as bestiality. Second, Paul speaks against impurity or spiritual uncleanness. These general sins can refer to many things, such as evil thoughts or actions. Third, Paul mentions passion, also translated as lust or inordinate affection. These are inappropriate cravings which distract us from the things above and lead us to commit the sin of immorality and impurity. Fourth, evil desires likely includes wanting things which are wrong, whether sexual desires or material things. Fifth, Paul refers to covetousness, which is idolatry. Paul considers jealousy over what others have as a form of idol worship. Paul wasn't finished yet. In Colossians 3:8, he says, "Now ye also put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth." The word mortify comes from a Greek verb, nekro, which means to put to death or kill in a spiritual sense. In Colossians 3:5, putting to death refers to actively suppressing and overcoming sinful behaviors, desires, and attitude that are part of our earthly and fleshly nature. It's a process of crucifying the old man's nature and cultivating new habits that align with life transformed by Christ. Paul is not referring to physical death, but rather to spiritual, as of killing sins that dwell within us, believers. Remember Jesus. In Matthew 5:27-30, when he said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman and lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not the whole body should be cast into hell." Now, we have to understand what they're saying there, right? Because, you know, if that was, you know, how we see it, we'd be walking around with one eye and one hand. That's not, he was giving an example. In other words, we must avoid the consequences of sin. He was showing us an example of, listen, this is a good example of not to do such and such. Romans 8:13 says, For if ye live after the flesh, ye should die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I believe Paul is saying, if we don't put sin to death, sin is going to put us to death. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Romans 6:5-6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I remember me and Barbara went out to dinner, you know, to Fantasy Hill restaurant, Ruth Chris. Yeah, we did, you know. We didn't do it all the time, yeah, but, you know, every now and then, you know, we inspired a little bit. And just to give you an example, and, you know, I like steak, and I ordered a nice T-bone steak, nice T-bone steak, you know, right, with that T in the middle, you know. And man, I was enjoying that thing, right? I mean, I was enjoying it. It was good. Well done. It was good. And I, you know, you take a break to drink some tea and whatnot, right? And the waiter came by and said, "Can I take that from you?" No. Because I wasn't finished with it yet. Are you with me? And that's how sin is with us. We're not through with it yet. That's why many can't mortify or put it to death, because we're not through with sin yet. It's something about sin, it's like we got to hold on to it. You know, and I say we remember now. Don't you throw no book at me. I'm talking about these people, not you, all right? But when we are not finished with something, we hold on to it for a while. You girls, you ladies, you remember when you was kids, right? You had the doll babies that you slept with. You know, you had to have it to go to sleep. You remember that. You ain't got to raise your hand. I know, because I'm human, too. I know. I got sisters, too. Right? That Raggedy Ann doll or that Cabbage Patch or whatever. Right? And that thing, it's so close to you. You know, that doll is close to you. And you can't go to sleep without it. You know, if you don't have it in your possession, you can't sleep. And you can't, you know, you just can't function right unless you know where that doll is, right? And you had it for a long time, you know, for a long period of time, a couple of years, right? And now the one eye done fell out. Are you with me? The arm keep falling off and you put it back on, and you know, the leg fall off, or you know, you put it back on, you know. Are you with me? The hair starts falling out, right? You know, it's time for a new one, but you just can't get rid of it because you're not finished with it yet. You're not through with it. And not just the women. You remember us men, you know, the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. You remember that. You know, we you know, it's hard, you know. You know, we still fighting G.I. He got one arm and we still fighting, you know. He's still, old G.I. Joe, still fighting, right? Because we just can't get rid of it. And that's how it is with sin. We just, you know, we want to hold on to it. But Paul is telling us something. He says, kill it. Mortify it. Get rid of it. Because you don't need it. Paul is telling us in the scriptures, it said that the wages of sin is death. That death is hell. The Bible says, for sin separates us from God. And one thing we don't want to be is separated from God. Amen? We don't want to be separated from God. And that's what sin does. But sin has its way of controlling us sometimes, right? And we're, you know, we get to, and it's, you know, and I've been there, you know. Partying and having a good time with sin, and you know you don't want to throw it away, but you gotta throw it away, you gotta kill it, mortify it, put it to death. Young girl, she met a boy, and she came home and she said, "Mom, I met a boy. Oh, Mom, he's so handsome. He's so nice, Mom, right?" And you know how your mothers are, you know, because one thing about mothers, right, and their daughters, they see themselves where they were. Are you with me? They see themselves in that little girl. And now they're saying that I've been there and done that, but they got to do that and come here. Are you with me? So she comes home and she said, I met this boy. And I'm crazy about him. I really like him, Mom. And you know, mother want to know something about him. You know, you liking this boy? Who is this boy? What is he? You know, what is he about? Right? And what is his name? Oh, I don't know his real name, but his nickname is Snake. So, you know, Mom, could we ask him over to dinner? Okay. All right. We okay. So he comes over to dinner. They have dinner and whatnot. Time goes on. Girl come home one day crying. Mother said, "What's wrong?" She said, his real name is Bernard. Bernard hurt me. She said, "What happened?" He said, "He's going out with my best friend. And I'm hurt, Ma. I'm hurt." And she said, "Well, it's a lesson in life. You know, it's a lesson. And some things are just not good for you, right?" And she said, You was right, Ma, when you told me that he wasn't good for me, but I didn't listen, Ma. And she took that relationship and she dug a hole and she threw that relationship in and covered it up. 2 days later, hey snake, I got to see you. I got to see you. 2 days later, she dug it back up, right? And sin is like that. The things that we were weak in and the sin that we were weak in, we go right back and dig it right back up. We threw it away, but we come back and dig it up again. And if something is dead, and you dig it up, it stinks. And if you deal with it, guess what? You stink too. Are you with me? And then you're around people. Who is that? Who are you? It's you. Are you with me? Because you dug that back up. And that's what happened to what many of us. We ain't through with sin. We're not through with it yet. We're supposed to be mortifying. We're supposed to be putting it to death. But we're not finished with it yet. And that's why it keeps coming back and back and back and back. Praise be to God that God sent us Jesus. Are you with me? Praise be to God. Because Jesus knew that we wouldn't be able to, you know, to fight sin off by ourselves. He knew that. He sent us the Holy Spirit. He knew that. But guess what? Most of us, we don't use the Holy Spirit. You know, we keep it in our wallet until we really need it. You know, because see certain sins we think it's okay. You know, some sins ain't that bad. God shouldn't even worry about sins like that. Are you with me? But the Bible says all sin is bad for us. Don't get used to no sin. Because sin is like this. Sin will tell you what to do. Sin will tell you where to go. How far to go. What to say. Are you with me? And if sin have you... if you are a slave to sin, you're going to what? You're going to go, and you're going to do, and you're going to say what sin says. Because if not, sin ain't going to want nothing to do with you. And you said, self sin, come back. You know, let's hang out. You know, because something about sin we like. We like. Yes, we do. Mouth trouble. You know, me and my wife talk about this a lot, you know. You know, mouth trouble. People just don't know what to say out of their mouth. Are you with me? And you know, you got the people who tell it like it is. Are you with me? You make me mad, you're gonna wish you didn't make me mad. Are you with me? And we're gonna tell it like it is. Bible teaches us, it says, if the blind leave the blind, they both will fall into the ditch. So if you make me mad and I say something back, you have led me into the ditch. Are you with me? You have led me into the ditch. Now we're both in the ditch. But that mouth, right? The Bible teaches about the mouth could be a life or death. Life or death. But some of us, right, we just have that, you know, tell it like it is attitude. Are you with me? You don't mess with me because you don't mess with that dude. You don't mess with that woman because she would tell it like it is. Right? Like you supposed to, you know, be scared about all that. But anyway, then we have anger problems. You know, you people get angry fast, real fast, and then do something about their anger. Are you with me? Want to fight or, you know, what that, but God is telling us, you know, be angry, but sin not. How in the world are you supposed to do that? Walk away, turn the other cheek, right? God, if I walk away, they're going to think I'm a what? A coward. So I got to, are you with me? Lord, you know, let me take care of this. If I need you, I'll call you. Are you with me? You say, if I need you, I'll call you, Lord. But I'm going to take care of this because he shouldn't have done what he did. or she shouldn't have done what it did. And so we want to take care of ourselves with anger, wrath. You know, we want to get back at folks. Are you with me? You said something to me. You know, I told you this before. I haven't seen this boy in, I mean, maybe 50 years, Jerry. And he still remember what I must, I don't even remember what I said, but something I said made him mad. And he came to me and says, you know, I should have such and such, you know. I said, what? He said, I'm still thinking about that thing, right? I ain't seen the man in about 40-50 years, right? Were you still mad at something I said way back then? You know, but that's how wrath is. Fornication. Christians who are fornicating, right? So the preacher was preaching about fornication, and, you know, he's preaching, you know, he said, he said about a whore, you know, whorish women, so forth and so on, right? And this girl, she got upset, right, because it just so happened she was in a relationship with two men, a physical relationship with two men. And because the preacher was preaching about that, she just knew that he was talking to her, about her, you see? And she got all upset. And, but you know, the preachers, when they preach, they, you know, just give us a break. Are you with me? You know, because we're just telling it like it is. Are you with me? We're just telling it like it is. It was a story about a preacher, you know, because, you know, they preachers go through some stuff now. There was a man who had a heart attack, and he had a serious heart attack, and the family members, they learned something that he had that he had $15 million coming to him because he had, you know, what's the word, you know, no, he hit the lottery, no, he inherited $15 million. So now the family, you know how that is. You know, they got together and said, we got to get this $1,500 now, but he going to have to sign for it, right? He going to have to sign for this $15 million. Family got together and said, well, now how are we going to tell him? We got to tell him. One family member said, if you tell him, he might have a heart attack and die. So they said, okay, I know what we're going to do. We're going to tell the preacher. He should know how to do it. So they went and told the preacher the situation. And the preacher said, I'll take care of it, right? So he went to the man, right, who had the heart attack. And he sat down and he spoke to him, talked for a little period, good period of time. And he said, Brother so-and-so, I would like to ask you something. He said, what if you inherit $15 million? He said, what would you do? He said, well, brother, he said, the first thing I would do is give the church $5 million. And before he could get to the second thing, the preacher on the floor with a heart attack. So be kind to your preachers, right? You know, because preachers go through some things, too. Are you with me? You go through some things, too. Fornication. You teach it. You say, abstain from this. Don't, you know, this, stay away from this. But they're thinking like this, right? You know, hey, how am I supposed to know whether I love this person or not unless I fornicate? Right? God said not to. So don't. Be led by God, not by sin. Are you with me? Some might say, well, you know, why don't you just marry the person? Why don't you just marry the person? And they say something like this, well, I don't really love him enough to marry him. Are you with me? I'm gonna handle this. We got this, right? Right? Mary. No, because I don't know if I really love him. We just got an understanding. Are you with me? We have an understanding in this fornication ship that we have. Are you with me? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 7:9 says, but if they cannot contain or control, let them marry. For it's better to what? Marry than to burn. Are you with me? But you have some Christians who are committing fornication. And they figure, right, that, and to some instance, I understand it, because these days, right, you could be sitting down, you could take a person out to dinner, right, just as proper, and don't know if he's a man or a woman. Are you with me? Because you got some men who look just like girls. Just like girls. You know, and vice versa. Right? They done got cut up, shot up, every kind of up you want, right? To become what God didn't make them to be. So young men, young women has to be sure these days, but not through fornication. Are you with me? Through God's word, come to church, you know. Come to church. Lying lips. People lie. You know, they'll tell you, you know, they'll lie to get out of trouble because you know, hey, they're in too deep. Are you with me? Because sometimes, you know, we get into things too deep and it seems like there's no way out. So we got to lie to get out. Then after you get out of the lie, then you got to lie again. Then you got to lie again. And the lie, it seemed like it never stopped, because somebody going to want to know something about the lie that you told. And then you got to tell a lie to make that lie look good. Bullying. Now, this is very serious, because there's a lot of bullying going on in the church, and we have to understand that sin is sin. Sin is sin. And I'm not long, right? It's going to be over in a little bit, okay? You know, see, some is, they're trying to hang in there, you know? I understand. I got it. But bullying is no good. Are you with me? We ought to watch what we say to people, try to make people do it where we want them to do. That's what a bully is. You see, if my wife don't love me, I can't make her bully her to love me, right? That's something that's automatic. That's something that should be given, not bullied to get. Are you with me? And bullying is in the church. People want you to be what they want you to be, and if you don't be it, you're gonna get bullied in order to be it. It's in the church right now. Well, what church is that, Brother Pastor? I ain't telling you. I ain't gonna tell you. Paul says, the goal is to move beyond old ways of living and embrace life guided by the Holy Spirit. To truly put to death sin, believers must actively cultivate a new mindset, focus on spiritual things and God's will. This means not to just avoid these sins, but to actively working to kill them within the believer's heart and mind. Because if you don't kill it, it's going to come, be around. It said, if you chop a snake tail off, you're still going to live. Are you with me? You got to get the head. You got to kill it. You have to kill it, you know. And That's what we must do with sin. We can't play with it. We can't put it aside and say, you know, for a later date. We have to just kill it. And you say, Brother Patterson, you know, how do you do that? Let Christ, he show you how to do it. You know, Brother Patterson, are you there yet? No, but I'm working on it. Are you with me? Some things got me going. Are you with me? But I'm to the point now, and it's like I told you before, I don't know how long I got on this earth. I may have just a few days. Are you with me? I may just have a few hours, a few minutes, but I want to use those few days, those few hours, those few minutes for God. Are you with me? That's what I want to do, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm going to tell you, it gets hard sometimes. It's not easy, but it gets hard. It really do get hard sometimes. You're trying to stay away from sin and keep sin from controlling you and try to just keep sin out of your life. Are you with me? Because, you know, we have folks who would cause you to sin. We have to stay away from those folks. It's a lot to it, but you got to follow Christ's lead. As we stated in the Sunday school this morning, you know, we don't co-pilot with Christ. We follow Christ. We get in the back. Are you with me? Christ don't need us to co-pilot with him. Are you with me? All we have to do is follow Christ's lead. Follow his lead. Listen to God's word. Study. Listen to his word. And hear what he got to say. On every point, everything in this world, God has an answer to it. On everything, he has an answer. All you got to do is ask him. If you fervently ask him, he's going to fervently tell you. Colossians 3:12-17. In closing, the Bible says, "Put therefore, as elect of God's holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave us, so also do we forgive. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Amen. Mortify sin. Mortify it. Put it to death. Sin, we can't hang out no more. You know, I'm getting married. And his name is Jesus. Right? And he's coming for me. But when he's coming? None of your business. He's coming for me. Are you with me? He's coming for me. And I got to put you down. Goodbye. It's over. Are you with me? It's over. That's how we gotta just put it away. If we cross, you know, put it away, you know. Stop cursing. If we take a little sip, stop sipping. You know, if we take a little puff, stop it, quit, kill it, let it die, you know, don't revive it, let it go, let it die. That's what God is telling us, because sin will separate us from God. The wages of it is death. If you are here and you are not a member of God's church, you must hear God's word. You must hear that God was born of a virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived and died and suffered on this earth for our sins. died on a cruel cross, but on the third day rose with victory in his hands. We must believe that. We must repent. Repent means to turn away from, turn your back on. Are you with me? Don't turn your back on good thing, but turn your back on sin. That's what it means, repent. Turn away from it and walk away and stay away from sin. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must stay faithful in God's grace. You must come to worship. You must come to Bible classes on Wednesday night. You must love. That's the most important. You must stay faithful. You must give. You must teach. And all these musts, we must do. If you're here and you are a member and you are in need of prayer, we may answer that as together we stand and sing the song that was appointed.